This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time here on the whole show. We tried to do different things, but you got to go back to the well. Hooligans like it. They're participating. I'm seeing more of it. So we're gonna stay with buy or sell. Plus, it makes, you know, Michael fears change. So I want to keep him safe and cozy.
I only like the change that's money.
And his weird way of being a person. Bill Belichick. Are you buying or selling that he'll finish the season as the head coach of North Carolina?
I'm going to buy that.
You'll buy that he will finish the season.
He will finish the season.
The statements put out yesterday, all the turmoil surrounding him, the parents reportedly being upset, that doesn't scare you. You think he at least finishes the season?
He finishes the season, but next season will be a completely different story. If these shenanigans continue to happen...
They've Done. Already had to release a statement that his girlfriend was, like, there was a rumor that they wanted her away from the facilities, but then they had to release a statement, no, we welcome her, you know, it's not that bad, but clearly somebody said, what the hell is she doing here? I'm going to go with you, though. I'm buying that he will finish the season, but money talks, and you'll start seeing if a lot of those excited donors that threw out the $20-plus million dollars... For once he arrived on campus, we'll find out if that stays, if it gets worse. Still maybe, Bill Belichick at the end of the day.
Maybe they're asking for their money back.
We'll see.
Sorry, you already wrote the check.
Not production-wise, but just skill set-wise. Buy or sell, Courtland Sutton is the third best wide receiver in Broncos history.
Production-wise or skill set-wise?
Just skill set. Just watching him play. Compared to, obviously you would be saying he's over guys like Ed McCaffrey and Lionel Taylor. Steve Watson, like, I'm not saying stats because he's not there yet, but just watching him play, is he better than Ed McCaffrey? Is he better than a lot of those guys that are above him on this list? Top three wide receiver of all time for the Broncos.
I would like to cheat and say...
Nope. Today, you're asked to make this list, and it better be good. Is Courtland Sutton on your top? You're making a Mount Rushmore of Denver Broncos wide receivers, excluding tight ends. Is Courtland Sutton on it?
Can you ask me an easier question? This is a hard one.
No, he's on it. The answer is yes. Courtland Sutton is on the Mount Rushmore of Broncos wide receivers. I'm going to say it. There hasn't been a lot of success in his... career with Denver, unfortunately.
Haven't been a lot of good quarterbacks in his career with Denver.
And I think that's more to the point of why he is Mount Rushmore. Rod Smith is an amazing wide receiver. He's awesome. Love the guy. But he had John Elway throwing to him most of his career. Same with Ed McCaffrey. A lot of these guys that are on that list had the greatest, arguably the greatest quarterback in history throwing him the football. And I think for that simple fact you just mentioned, he had Case Keenum. How far are we going back? Case Keenum throwing him the ball. Trevor Siemian throwing him the ball. Russell Wilson throwing him the ball. Not a lot of great quarterbacks giving Courtland Sutton much of a shot. And yet he hung with it, still produced on a yearly basis, recovered from some pretty significant injuries. And here he is today. Now he's a playoff wide receiver. He was there last year. And he's getting that opportunity. So how about that? Not top three, but the buy or sell really is Courtland Sutton, tight ends excluded, on the Mount Rushmore of Denver Broncos wide receivers. And I say yes. I say he's there. Buy or sell, Shedeur Sanders will be a Cleveland Brown next year. Yeah.
Who wants him? Does anybody want him?
Well, Baltimore did.
do they want him now?
Philadelphia, well, not now. No, you slapped our hand away.
Does he have any trade value? I mean, I am pretty sure Cincinnati could lose all their quarterbacks, and they'd be saying, hey, we need a quarterback. Anybody want to trade a quarterback? The Browns could say, we will trade you Shedeur Sanders for a candy bar, yeah. And the Browns would say, no.
No. If Bailey Zappe is the second string quarterback for Cleveland, then Shedeur Sanders, if that, because they haven't made that decision yet, right? Stefanski was kind of mums the word on that. We haven't made a decision yet. Then that means no. He will not be a Cleveland Brown next year.
Oh, he's hitting the Shedeur. He's gone.
Yeah. Now, he was asked about where he is, whether he's two or three on this roster right now, and he said, I'm in a great mental space overall, so I would say you tend to get a little bit more excited when you see a light at the end of the tunnel, for sure. Whatever my role is here, I'm thankful. I'm just happy to do that. How about that? Shedeur Sanders doing the coach speak answers now? I think that's what people want to see from this guy. They want to see those boring answers once in a while. Okay. Baker Mayfield was asked yesterday, Michael, about why, you know, when he first started in his career and then what he did in college. It was like, oh, people thought you were too cocky and they got after you for that and you'll never make it. And the reporter said that wasn't accepted when you weren't great. And now you're an MVP candidate. And now people love it. And Baker responded. He's like, yeah, now it used to be I was cocky and arrogant, full of crap. And now it's I got moxie. I'm tough. I've got the it factor. So
funny how wins change someone's
but
point of view.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you do have to earn a certain amount of leeway. If you want, I'm not saying you can't be yourself. You should always be yourself, but don't you have to tone down sometimes who that version of you is for a moment? And if you've earned the right to be a little overconfident, then go for it.
I don't know what toning it down means.
Are you saying you really don't know what that means?
I mean, clearly, from talking on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what toning it down means.
There's times where we, you know, you're in a different room when you're with somebody else and you're going to be a little bit more professional than maybe you were, than you are around your boys. Or you're a little more comfortable at home when your wife's around. You're a different person when you're out and about at a professional function or something. It's not asking you to change who you are. It's just saying you're probably not going. I'm not going to go to a function, like a really nice, like, nonprofit function that I get invited to, and break out the Thursday night special. Look, I'm not going to do that.
I don't know. It's pretty epic. I think you should.
Yeah.
I think that nonprofit is going to make some money.
A live version of that. Yeah, sure. These are the things he needs to do. Brady, you want to put a muzzle on him. You want to silence these guys and let them be. That's the problem. We're in a society where everyone's like, let them be themselves. Yeah, there's. I have a kid with autism, living life with autism. I absolutely applaud him for being himself and who he is. But we can't necessarily go through a store and he's going to grab every toy on the shelf and throw it across Walmart, even though that's what he wants to do. He likes to see things fly sometimes. We as parents got to kind of control that a bit as much as we possibly can, but we still want him to be himself. We want him. Funny thing that my child does, Michael. We go to a park. The kid knows that he gets better grip when he doesn't have shoes on. So he takes his shoes and his socks off, and he climbs up all the slides. Some parents look at us like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is a park. It's a cesspool out here. You'll be fine. His feet all over this is not the grossest thing that's ever happened. And if people have a problem with it, whatever. But we're not going to let him do that all over the place. But in play areas like that, all I'm saying is you do want them to be themselves, but sometimes you have to be a reserved version of that until you get to that point where, all right, now You ever watch a TV show? Like TV shows and you see the pilot episode, right? The main character is hardly anything close to what they end up being. You watch a comedy, it's a completely different character. Go watch The Office. Go watch the pilot of The Office and tell me Kevin Malone is the Kevin Malone that finished the series with The Office. They try out these characters, and then as people kind of go, I like that guy, or he did something goofy there. Ooh, that went over really well. Then you go all in on that character, and suddenly they're different. That happens. Baker Mayfield, he toned it down a little bit. I don't see him grabbing his crotch and planting flags anymore or running from cops. So, I mean, you do tone it down a little bit. It's part of this process.
Did you see the video where he dressed up as a fan?
I did see that.
That's pretty awesome. I love it when the players do that.
Did you like Baker Mayfield when he first came out of college?
It was that same thing. It was I thought he probably shouldn't have grabbed his crotch. I understood why.
Well, he got after it with a fan over the weekend, and he said some pretty interesting words. I didn't love the Baker Mayfield stuff at the beginning. I think I am actually one of the people he's talking about. I think I'm one of the people he's talking about.
I think once he started, like, in his second year, once he got settled in, I think once he started doing those commercials and got more in the public and started getting normalized.
Oh, yeah. What commercial did he do?
Allstate, I think.
Was it Allstate when he was at the Cleveland Stadium that was his home?
Like, yeah.
That was when I kind of started liking Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, because
I liked watching him play football. I did. It just, I didn't love all the other things.
I think once
I
you
like
got
watching
past
him do everything now.
Once you got past all the extracurricular stuff, like I think once he matured a little more, like people who weren't fans of all that extra stuff are like, okay, he brought it down. We can come back. We can come and meet him at that level. And it was especially when he helped the Browns get to the playoffs. Then you gained some respect for the man because like, oh, he's kind of earned it. The Browns getting to the playoffs, that's rare.
Yeah, you can do that. And then when you are shopped around, you know, he goes to Carolina. He goes to Los Angeles. And
didn't like him at that time.
He's just kind of a guy at that point, wasn't he? He's just kind of a guy. You know, neither here nor there. He was going to be a journeyman quarterback. And then he goes to Tampa Bay. I remember when he first went to Tampa Bay, Mike, it was like, I'm not going to try to go out there and be Tom Brady. I remember on this show, I laughed at it. I'm like, does that even need to be said? Of course you're not going to go out there and be Tom Brady. It's Tom freaking Brady. And now I'm kind of like, I'm glad you're not. I like this version. I like this person, this quarterback. I like to hear him talk. I know he's a man of faith. He said he really started to focus and found his faith a few years ago, and he's been putting a lot into that. I have a hard time rooting against Baker Mayfield now. Aaron says, I wasn't a big Baker fan when he was in college or came into the league, but I would say every year I gain more respect for him. He's not your typical quarterback at the podium. Yeah, listen, and this is going to sound like I'm being a hypocrite because he was asked about he and Sam Darnold. Do they reminisce about their time in Carolina? And he's like, they're the good times in Carolina. Did you go over the good old days? And he goes, excuse me, what? What days? And they said the good days. And he goes, no. But he loves Sam Darnold. But he's like, no, there were no good days.
Because it was Carolina.
Right.
Carolina is...
Well, and they treated him badly, and they wanted him gone and all this stuff. And he speaks out. And so people are going at home, if you're a Buffs fan or a Shador fan, you know, Brady, why is it okay for Baker to do that and not Shador? I just said it. Didn't love it when Baker first started and when he did this kind of stuff.
But he got better.
He got better.
And he earned it.
And the way he does his stuff is still different. He ain't miming. He's not saying he's better than any quarterback in the league. What Shador said today was much better. Like, those are the things, but you can still be you. You can still be if I'm his agent, I'm like his marketing agent, like, dude, I want you to be confident. I want you to have moxie, but we don't need to bring a speaker set coming in before your first preseason game when you're the third string quarterback. Let's not do that. Let's not make that move. Let's not say you're better than half the league of starting quarterbacks. Let's not do, I don't know if he said half the league, but he said he was better than a lot of starting quarterbacks. Let's not do that. Because now you're saying that your coaches suck because they don't know any better. Let's not do that. Let's not mime I know you don't like what Rex Ryan had to say. Rise above it, man. You're better than that guy. He's sitting in a booth talking about you. You're out here living it. You rise above it. Don't mime. And I'm not saying you can't be you. Not saying you can't be critical or a little pointy. You can do those things. Yes, Michael.
Well, I would say to him, prove them wrong. Don't whine about it. Prove them wrong.
I think
you can either talk back to them and you can call them up and say, hey, blah, 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 why do you think this? Or, you know, you give them an actual statement or work your butt off and get a starting role somewhere and start throwing laces right in the middle of people's numbers. Be a good quarterback.
Big Hub says, why can't the Browns name Shador number two? Because Kevin Stefanski doesn't want to. Kevin Stefanski does not want Shador Sanders there. To my knowledge, to what I believe, to what I have heard, to what I have read, if he wanted him there, he would have been. They would have drafted him sooner. If you wanted him there, he would easily say, who's number two? Nope, it's Bailey Zappe, who was actually kind of behind Shador Sanders. But we're not doing that. He still very well might, but I don't think Stefanski is necessary. From this isn't firsthand knowledge. This is just from what I'm guessing. 21 minutes after the hour. Michael, we're 3-2 on the year in the Thursday night special. Mr. Thursday night makes his return, and we're going to get back on pace. We got to be careful here, though. Eagles, Giants. Eagles are -7, but the Giants aren't good, but they beat the Chargers. Is this a trap thing? And are the Eagles getting found out? Did the Broncos solve the Rubik's Cube that is the former Super Bowl or the defending Super Bowl champs? Did the Broncos expose something? Will the Eagles run the ball? Have they given up on Saquon Barkley? No, they haven't. Is A.J. Brown going to be pissed off all season? Or do they get it together and do what they thought they could have done against the Broncos and smack the Giants right in the mouth? We'll find out. This is the most important, most influential segment in the history of radio. It is the Thursday Night Special, and I am Mr. Thursday Night. We'll be right back.
Your college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Brady, time to pick the game for Thursday night. Tell us who is going to win tonight. Who will win, who will lose, Brady? Brady, you were wrong again last Thursday night. I think it's time for you to get it right. Will tonight be the night, Brady? Micah, go Broncos, what you always say, but they will not play today. Oh, Micah, not about to lose again, but if you want to make picks with me, I will tell you who will win. Eagles, Giants. He is Mr. Thursday Night. And if you want to hear who will win, lock it on KFK. Micah, put down the pizza and hold on tight. Fade this out for Mr. Thursday Night. Here's Brady.
Goosebumps. Goosebumps. I know you hate literally, but I literally have goosebumps right now because
depends
of Brian Gary.
Literally.
Well, I literally have them. You want to feel? Come around here. Come get me a little.
Oh, I believe you. I believe it's literal.
Yeah, I have goosebumps. Brian has reinvigorated the Thursday night special. Now we're 3-2. We're still 500 record is fine. It's okay. But we need this one tonight. And this is a very interesting spot here. The Eagles, Saquon Barkley going back to his old stomping grounds. If Saquon Barkley was the Rock, he would go, finally, Saquon has come back to this hole. Almost cursed. They're going to give him ball tonight. They didn't give him the ball against the Broncos. They should have. I don't know what they were thinking, but they're going to give Saquon Barkley the ball. But the Giants suddenly, the G-men, did they find something? Now, they lost to the Saints last time out. But against the Chargers, good old Jackson Dart. He was not great, necessarily, against the Chargers. But it was last week that he made some mistakes. I don't know if he's going to be a good quarterback or not, but he had two touchdowns and two interceptions. Why, oh why, are the Giants only 7-point dogs, or 7.5, depending on where you look? Why? Tell me the answers. That scares me. That's why I'm like, this isn't an obvious thing. You got a pissed off Eagles team going up against a rival. You got a pissed off Saquon Barkley. Going up against the team that discarded him, didn't think he was worth it. I mean, you got Jalen Carter's questionable, excellent D tackle. Why isn't this more like an 8.5? Why 7's tough in the NFL? 7's probably pretty close to high up. 7.5 certainly scary. Even great teams only beat teams by field goals and 6, and touchdowns are considered a healthy win. It happens. But I'm going with my gut here. I like upsets. I love upsets. But that ain't happening tonight. Give me the Eagles -7. Away we go.
You know who's so happy to see me today? Wrap his wings around me and hug me.
An eagle hugged you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
You don't want to believe in miracles, that's on you.
There's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So that's what Pennsylvania is.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, so Philadelphia's not Pennsylvania?
No.
No.
What is this man talking about?
First and 10 for the Eagles. There's Barkley, right side, sprinting through the hole. Saquon Barkley is in. Touchdown, Philadelphia. Hurst shoving his way in. He's in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Pass caught. Touchdown, Philadelphia. Dallas Goedert. Second and 4.
Slipping.
Flinging it. Caught.
You got an Eagles
on the
team.
On is Barkley. He's in for a touchdown.
They're so bad. Barkley's going off tonight, Michael. Saquon Barkley's rolling.
We're not in Pittsburgh. We're in Philadelphia. This is not easy.
Yeah. Okay. We waited for that. It's going to be a blowout tonight. Eagles are going to stomp the Giants. It's not even going to be funny. It'll kind of be funny. But follow along with me tonight. The chosen wrestler of the Thursday night special is Mick Foley. So look for the Mick Foley gifts, and you'll know you found the right spot. Joining me next, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Rams Weekly coming up at 2 today. This is the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's been a bit since the Kevin Lytle has joined me here in the Aloe Fiber studios, but Kevin, it's great to catch up with you, my friend. as always.
It's good to be back. You know, missed last week because Friday road game meant Thursday was travel day for me. So I kind of missed out on last week, which is a bummer.
Yeah, you had a travel day and ended up seeing something interesting on Friday.
The ocean?
Yeah, well, yeah, that might have been more. You probably just wanted to go skip rocks after that game out in the ocean and just be there with your thoughts
for a while.
The ocean
was nice, yeah.
It was a rough go.
Yeah, it was tough. I had said or written, I guess it was, before that I thought it would actually be kind of a high-scoring game, even though all numbers would suggest low-scoring. That ended up true, but, man, not exactly how you would have thought. And kind of alarming for CSU just how it went down.
Yeah.
Again, weird, though. Like, if the final 2 minutes of that half go differently, it's a totally different game. I mean, it's 21-7. CSU's driving. They're in the red zone. If they get a touchdown there and are able to just get to halftime at down 21-14, that's fine. You're right in it. Instead, they stall out, kick a field goal, and then allow the three-play touchdown drive, and all of a sudden what could have been a one-score game is now an 18-point game going into halftime, and that was basically game over. Or, you know, San Diego State then came out. I think it was actually just a field goal on their first drive, but pretty quickly, like, that game was just over. I think San Diego State from, I believe, as late first quarter to maybe even into the fourth quarter scored on seven straight drives. That's just rough.
It was in a game that was so important because of the way the non-conference schedule went, and starting off in the Mountain West, and we're still learning about who these teams are going to be, but San Diego State wasn't necessarily like, oh, upper echelon Mountain West team.
They'd struggled a lot. Yeah. Year one under Sean Lewis, and you thought it was going to take a little bit of time, and I think that's showed. They've been kind of up and down, but they sure played well last week.
Yeah, and we're going to get into some of the details from the game as well, and then look at Fresno State tomorrow night, another Friday night game for the Rams. And But I want to get to some of the big ones with you, Kevin. Yeah. Jay Norvell, I know you said it on Good Morning NoCo too, talking about how this kind of felt like a must win last week. And you and I were kind of talking back and forth, wondering, what are they going to do? Are they going to make that decision? I think you and I are kind of in the same camp of like, I don't know what a lot of good it does to fire him right now, but then again, what's the turnout look like Friday? We'll see. Is it basically like next loss, it's over for Jay? Like, where are we on this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a really tough, complicated decision. You have a buyout right now if you were to want to move. It's still pretty, relatively early in the season. We're obviously getting less and less so that's early, but there's still seven games left. You know, in theory, if you turn things around, you could still have some successes. But, the phrase I keep using with fan base is moderates. You have your extremes on both ends, the ones who are going to be mad almost no matter what, the ones who are going to kind of support the team no matter what. But then the main chunk, despite what you may hear on Twitter, the main chunk are the moderates in the middle who have some expectations, some realism, kind of a hybrid of both. When you start losing that group, that's when you're in trouble. And I think you have to say right now that Norvell has lost most of that moderate group. And so, patience is thin is probably an understatement.
What did you make of Jay Norvell? And I want to ask two quarterback things here because you posted this and I thought you put this up at the Colorado and you gave us the injury report that they released. Jackson Brissot was named captain of this team. And initially, right when I read that, I'm like, there's zero chance of going back to BFN now. That was the first thing that crossed my mind, is even if Jackson really struggles, how are you going to flip-flop? It'd be tough anyway. But now you're saying, okay, we like him so much, we're actually going to make him a captain.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I hadn't really thought of in that vein. But, I've thought that it's kind of Brusso's, to take now. So I haven't really anticipated a flip back at all. But I think, that more so now because of that than, like you say, the availability report that we'll talk about. But, part of it, CSU's down a couple captains. Mukinde Wakalanje out for the season. He's a captain. Jacob Ellis, he's a captain. He's out. And then your third, Brain Fowler Nicolosi, was obviously, kind of benched. So that's three of your six captains, one way or another, not playing. So they kind of wanted to refill that captain group. So Brusseau and Jalen Dupree will get to see it. I'm not certain if that's, guaranteed for the season or if that's kind of a week-to-week thing. We'll see. In some ways, it's ceremonial. Like, your quarterback has to kind of be part of your leadership group no matter what. But, I think there's no doubt that it's kind of just a continued next evolution in the changing of the guard at that position.
Yeah. And then you posted, obviously, with the injury report, Braden Fowler Nicolosi listed as questionable.
Yeah.
Now, first thing is, how could he get hurt? And then it's, okay, well, maybe he's sick. Or if we want to be dramatic, which I can certainly go there, Kevin, this is kind of a slow, let's take it slow, but he might be wanting to get out of Colorado
State. It's going to be interesting to see what's next because, I mean, we certainly have not heard, you know, in the quarterback change, Norvell never mentioned any injury. It was all about play on the field. You know, it was clearly a sitting one player down to play the other player. BFN was not in the injury. Or it's availability report. I should make that clear. And unlike the NFL where you have to say what it is, you know,
they can just
whatever,
tell you.
It's either out, questionable, or, well, it's either out for the season, out for the game, or questionable. If you're not listed, you're considered available, but they don't need to list specifics. So BFN is listed as questionable. It doesn't say why technically or officially, and it doesn't have to, but it wasn't on the availability report last week. He is now this week. And yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, he's already redshirted, so he can't just do a traditional redshirt. So I think I've had someone ask about, well, he's under four games, so this could be part of sitting out. It's like, well, that doesn't really matter because he's already done the four-game redshirt his first year he played little bit. But a medical redshirt is kind of, as far as I understand it, the only other way to get this year back, so to speak. So is that going to be come in play? I don't know. You know, we'll see. I'll be interested to see if BFN is suited up Friday night against Fresno. My hunch would be no. You know, frankly, my hunch right now would be that he doesn't play for CSU again. But that's just me and a hunch, not you know, knowing an exact situation. So, yeah, it's interesting. And
so nothing,
again, just all those things further make it clear that, you know, this is Brusso's chance to run with it. You know, if the season were a continued spiral, you know, could Darius Curry get involved? Maybe. But I think they're definitely – it's Brusso's time now.
So on that transfer, thanks for clearing that up too, because I think there's a lot of like, oh, well, if he doesn't go,
they're so confusing now. Yeah, yeah, but he's already used that, so that, you know, you play year four or less in redshirt. He used that as a freshman, a true freshman. So yeah, that kind of quote unquote traditional redshirt has been used.
All right, so that's interesting. I mean, it is it. You look at it from BFN's point of view, you know, you were up on that pedestal. You know, you got Jay talking about how great you are and all this stuff with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
That story that tends to be something that I think will follow Jay Norvell, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, for a long time. And we always said, if you have to move on from that guy, it's going to be a little extra difficult. And yet, and here we are. And then it's, oh, now Jackson Brusso is not only taking your job, he's the captain now of this team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's... quarterback is just such an important, you know, it's always overly emphasized importance because it is that important. It's there are very few teams that are very good where the quarterback is bad. Yeah. You know, that's just hard to do. So it's just oversized importance for one position. And so the scrutiny and spotlight's always going to be on it. You know, Norvell talked a lot preseason about, you know, a lot of high expectations for BFN. He talked a lot about the records he thought BFN would, you know, school records BFN, you know, could break this season. So when it, you know, kind of goes south, it's natural that's going to be pretty much a main talking point.
It's weird how it happens, isn't it? Because those things you're saying, I remember in the offseason talking, hearing Jay Norvell talk about his relationship with BFN, and he'd light up, and it was like all good and everything. And then here we are. Not sure what the immediate future looks like for BFN with the Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, definitely. It's tough. It's tough change for everyone. I mean, when you have that hope and expectation for a season and a player, when it goes, you know, again, awry, it's tough on everyone. I don't think BFN, you know, expected to be in this point either. And no one did, really.
Is this the only path to save Jay Norvell's job? Is it essentially to win out?
I think, that are, you know, pretty close. Because, you know,
you can still get in it.
As negative as folks are right now, and, you know, in a lot of ways pretty understandable, you look at the path, I mean, you still have UNLV at home, you still have Boise on the road, you still have both your rivalry games in Wyoming and Air Force. I mean, if you go win all those games, you know, it would change very significantly the perception. Now, obviously, what we've seen on the field, that doesn't feel likely at all. But wins change narratives. So
they do.
That's the chance. And, you know, I think everyone knows that. And, you know, it starts Friday. You have to, you know, Fresno's another, maybe not to the status of UNLV or certainly Boise, but Fresno State's always good. Fresno State's the one that kept CSU out of the Mountain West title game last year. So if you then beat the Bulldogs Friday in Canvas, yeah, that doesn't, you know, it's not going to change the mood entirely, but it will at least give a little hint of like, okay,
yeah,
maybe there is some hope.
It would,
here.
I think it would buy you a little, extra time with fans.
Yeah, 100%. Because I mean, you have a back-to-back home games, and then you have a border war, which obviously it's an important game, but also, you know, to be frank, a Wyoming team that looks very beatable.
Yep.
Now, of course, Wyoming is saying the exact same about CSU. Fair enough, but again, if you can get one, I was talking to a player this week, Andrew Lorich. He's, you know, he kind of said, like, we have dogs. Like, we have guys in this room. Like, we got to get one, because if you get one, you can get going.
Yeah. No, sometimes just getting that one can lead to a much improved season. Okay. Let's get to what did we learn. Finish up the whole show here. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2. We'll break into all of this. Maybe a little CSU basketball talk, too.
Yeah, that's
Kevin.
Coming up fast.
I'm excited about that. So we'll talk all things Colorado State. But we'll take a break. What did we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this Thursday, October 9th? Kevin Lytle, special in-guest studio. What did you learn today, man?
I'm going to cheat because I didn't learn it today, but from last week's trip, Snapdragon Stadium, nice facility.
Seemed like nice from the television.
Yeah, they did a nice job. There's some fun like beer garden areas, a lot of just tailgate space outside, so hopefully they can start filling that place up because it could be a fun atmosphere and a fun, you know, future Pac-12 site.
Some of the best helmets in all
that
of college
too. I love those. Someone
They're
last
amazing.
Week said that to me that they didn't like them.
Oh, I love those.
I
helmets.
Said you need to get drug checked.
I think
They're
they might
cool.
actually be one of my favorites.
They're very cool.
They're just
yeah.
awesome. Michael,
I learned that a certain Browns quarterback, Sanders, can surely act maturely in his answers.
Yeah, he was actually very mature in a lot in his most recent ones. I just don't think Kevin Stefanski wants him around.
I also learned that CSU, the coaching staff, it feels like they're in more trouble today. If you have to promote another guy to a captain,
yeah, you guys, Kevin kind of outlined, you kind of did it out of necessity, kind of have to do it, I suppose, but it's tough. It's tough when you make a quarterback change. All right, Rams Weekly coming up, presented by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll break into everything CSU. Get at us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.